Chapter 16. Inori reduced and refocused its distortion field, allowing the wormhole terminus to close behind it. It looked round curiously with its many senses. Norfolk was 160,000 kilometres away, and the contrasting light from two different stars fell upon its hull. The upper hull was washed in a rosy glow from Duchess, the system's red dwarf sun, 200 million kilometres away, darkening and highlighting the blue polyp's elaborate purple web pattern. Duke, the K2 primary, shone a strong yellowish light across the environmentally stabilised pods clasped in Inoni's cargo bay, from 173 million kilometres in the opposite direction. Norfolk was almost in direct conjunction between the binary pair. It was a planet that was 40% land, made up of large islands 100 to 150,000 square kilometres each, and unaccountable smaller archipelagos. Inoni hung over the only sliver of darkness which was left on the surface, for the approaching conjunction had banished night to a small crescent extending from pole to pole, measuring about 1,000 kilometres wide at the equator, almost as if a slice had been taken out of the planet. Convoluted seas and winding straits sparkled blue and crimson in their respective hemispheres, and cloud swirls were divided into white and scarlet. Under Duke's glare the land was the usual blend of browns and greens, cool and welcoming, whereas the land illuminated by Duchess had turned a dark vermilion, creased with black folds, a harshly inhospitable domain in appearance. Syrinx requested and received permission to enter a parking orbit from the Civil Spaceflight Authority. Inoni swooped towards the planet in high spirits, chattering happily to the huge flock of voidhawks ahead of it. 375 kilometres above the equator, a diamante ring was shimmering delicately against the interstellar blackness as 25,000 starships reflected fragments of light from the twin suns off their mirror-bright thermal panels and communication dishes. Norfolk's star system wasn't an obvious choice for a Terra-compatible world. When the Gov Central scout ship Duke of Rutland emerged into the system in 2207, a preliminary sensor sweep revealed six planets, all of them solid. Two of them were in orbit 28 million kilometres above Duchess. Westmoreland and Brennock, forming their own binary as they tumbled round each other at a distance of 500,000 kilometres. The other four, Derby, Lincoln, Norfolk and Kent, orbited Duke. It was soon obvious that only Norfolk, with its two moons, Argyle and Fife, could support life. The already cluttered interplanetary space played host to a pair of major asteroid belts and five minor belts, as well as innumerable rocks which traded stars as their gravity fields duelled for adherence. There was also a considerable quantity of comets and small pebble-sized debris loose in the system. The scout ship's cosmologist was heard to say that it was almost as though it hadn't quite finished condensing out of the whirling protostar disk. One final point against colonization was the lack of a gas giant for the Edenists to mine for helium-3. Without a cheap local source of fuel for fusion, industry and spaceflight would be prohibitively expensive. With this gloomy prognosis in mind, the Duke of Rutland went into orbit around Norfolk to conduct its obligatory resources and environment survey. It was bound to be an odd planet, with its seasons governed by conjunction between the Duke and Duchess, rather than its sidereal position, midwinter, which came at a distance of 173 million kilometres from the coolish primary, was Siberian, while midsummer, at equipoise between two stars, was a time when night vanished completely, bringing a Mediterranean balm. There was no distinction between the usual geographical, tropical, and temperate zones found on ordinary worlds, although there were small polar ice caps. Instead, the seasons were experienced uniformly across the whole planet. Naturally, the aboriginal life followed this cycle, although there were no wild variants from standard evolutionary patterns. Norfolk turned out to have a lower-than-usual variety of mammals, marine species, and insects. Hibernation was common. In avian species it replaced migration, and they all bred to give birth in the spring. Nothing unusual there. But the plants would only flower and ripen when they were bathed in both yellow and pink light throughout the 23-hour, 43-minute day. That wasn't a condition which could have been duplicated easily anywhere, even on Edenist habitats. It made the plants unique, and uniqueness was always valuable.